This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
That's right. No wonder. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to ENN 603 on a Wednesday evening in New York. Just a couple hours away. What time's first pitch, Michael?
7:10, I believe.
That's an hour and 7 minutes to you and me.
I love baseball.
And you can hear the game right here on 98.7 ESPN. But I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
I just feel like doing a thirst trap.
Speaking of which, Michael, well, you know what? Let me just say good evening to Don first. Good evening, Don.
Why?
You know what, Don? It's a great way to start. Why, Michael? Why did you do what you did last night?
Why? I didn't do it. I had a great tweet that got a lot of traction. And when the Yankees had struck out 16 times in 8 innings, I said, that's a lot of strikeouts. I said, that's a lot of K's. That's more K's than I have at my family reunion. Over 5,000 likes.
You're joking.
It's for you to decide what was a thirst trap. I sent out a lot of tweets last night. There's nothing that I would say that's the one. I want you to decide what made you thirst.
What?
Nothing. Zero. But I think we know which one you tried to attempt to get people to thirst.
You have no idea. Don't read my mind. If you could read my mind, girl.
Now, I got to tell you, it was alarming what you did.
I think you were trying to get Quentin Tarantino to thirst.
Really?
You're talking Rex Ryan, Michael? Don?
Well, I wasn't comfortable going there.
Oh, the A's have tied the Astros 7-7 at the top of the seventh. Oh, play that number, 7-7-7.
3 minutes ago, but that's cool.
Oh, we hadn't given the score yet, have we?
No, that is true, but you made it sound like it happened in real time.
Well, that's called entertaining.
That's what he does. That's what Michael does. All right, guys. We'll get back to the Yankees in a couple of minutes here.
Of course.
We have to hit a couple of other stories from around the world. A
lot of stuff going on.
I mean, the New York Jets will not start Sam Darnold on Sunday.
If we could play the Don drop of why, that's exactly what Flacco said.
Live audio from Joe Flacco when he received word today that he would be starting on Sunday.
Why?
He's so unhappy right now.
There's another drop, RJ, that I think is more fitting to what Flacco said when he heard that he was starting on Sunday.
I know what it is. Garbage. Fucking this garbage.
Can I guess, Don?
Yeah.
That's a very good guess already.
Oh, God, oh, no.
Yeah, oh, geez, oh, no.
Oh, geez, oh, no.
He's got no idea what's going on. You think he's opening his playbook for the first time?
Yeah, he was just, please. Yeah,
fix that!
I think he lit a candle yesterday for Sam Darnold. Please let him be okay.
What was it about Flacco's body language that read to you the other day as he does not want to be there?
Just the general, standing in the huddle, I can't believe I'm here.
I mean, Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. I mean, it's like entering a Lamborghini in a demolition derby. That's what he must feel like.
Now, I will say this. I think he really felt that way on Thursday because he probably wasn't prepared to play. Now he's got a chance to prepare himself to play. And he said he's got butterflies. I think he's legitimately excited. But, he's not exactly, as Michael said, climbing into a Ferrari and go 0-60 in 3 seconds.
Can we go down a rabbit hole here for a sec?
Oh, yeah, sure. We always do.
And you know where I'm going to go here, probably. Not to be that guy, but to be that guy. So, Jets come out on Sunday, start Joey Flacco, who's getting his pieces back, getting some of the offensive toys back, and they look fantastic. And they cruise. 27-7. Jets win. 3 touchdown passes from Flacco. Le'Veon plays, the passing game opens up the running game. Everything flows in a way we have not seen since God knows when. Anything happen? Is there any conversation about what to do next week?
Oh, there's conversation, certainly on this show. But the Jets have to decide what's important about 2020, developing Sam Darnold or winning games. Now, when you have a coach, though, whose job is hanging in the balance, I think he's going to go with the thing that gives him the best chance to win.
Right. Now, Michael got on Gase for saying that nothing's going to change with the game plan at all.
Nothing.
And I think he might be just playing coy because why let the Cardinals know what he's thinking?
Yeah, because God forbid the Cardinals would find out that game plan.
But I don't think it's as easy as you say, Peter, where they light it up, they look great, and then we just kill Sam and say, well, see, this is the issue. Sam's more the issue than the coach. But I also need to see what plays are called here. Like, what if he seems to be more aggressive with Flacco, more imaginative with Flacco? Is that, you know, Sam Darnold, or is that the coach having no faith in Sam and now all of a sudden having faith in a veteran quarterback?
Well, one thing I think you're going to see different, Don, they're going to throw the ball down the field. I believe that Sam Darnold averages 5.7 yards per pass attempt from scrimmage, which is ridiculous. It's all dink and dunks. They never let him throw downfield. Flacco has an arm.
He's in the bottom three for yards per attempt. I saw that earlier when reading the company that Dwayne Haskins was in, but we'll get to that later. Let's hear from Adam Gase on Darnold being out.
He wants to change his name, by the way, the pronunciation.
Gase,
yes.
Let's hear from Adam Gase about Darnold being out and Flacco being in.
Joe will start this week. Sam will be out. We went through our process. We, you know, our doctors, you know, second opinions, you know, just making sure we do the right thing, not only by him, you know, just, you know, the immediate future, long term. I mean, he's really going to be week to week right now. That was really kind of what we were told by the doctors of, let's just kind of see how well he feels after this week of rest.
You know what they have to do is they have to call in the doctor that okayed Sam to go back on the field and say, come here, Dr. Drew, give us the pass to the facility. You can't come here anymore.
By the way, it would be really telling if we found out it was Dr. Drew. Wouldn't that sort of be all the information we needed about what's going on with this franchise?
Probably with the Jets, the medical doctor is probably Dr. Phil.
Again, this is just me. I didn't talk to anybody. I'm not a doctor. All right. I think what happened was he goes in there. The doctors examine him. All right, what's wrong? Well, we'd have to really, you know, get an MRI. Right now on the surface, I don't think anything's really broken or anything, but he is in pain. But he's going to need a more thorough examination to determine exactly what's wrong with the shoulder. But right now, the major problem is pain. And Gase is probably like, all right, listen, give him the cortisone shot, see how he feels, and get him out there in the second half because I want to win this football game. And then we'll kind of evaluate it after the fact. All right, now the pain goes away. You can't give another shot.
You can give three shots.
I think it's really kind of a dangerous thing to just continue. It's
dangerous to send him out there, too.
To give him. Absolutely. But I think it was just. I think the feeling was, listen, right now the most important thing is to try to win this game. It's a winnable game. We're in this game. We got to win. Flacco has not prepared to play. And now, all right, the pain comes back. And now they realize, all right, he can't play. And the decision should have been, no, you're not going out there. We're going to get it checked out. You're too important to this franchise to put you out there in what's going to probably end up being a meaningless game. But to Gase, it wasn't meaningless because he was probably buying into the press clippings that he had to win the game to save his job. And that's the problem you have with him being the continuing to be allowed to coach this team, because he's going to make decisions for me, not the team. Because sometimes you got to see the forest through the trees, right? You think Gase wants to make long-term decisions or short-term decisions that are going to be able to keep him here long-term? It's dangerous.
So, more drama in the LBC, and by that I mean the NFL.
The LBC? What does that mean?
Well, Long Beach Crew. It's a reference to Snoop Dogg. Don't worry about it.
That's so not cool.
Well, no, don't worry. This only goes back to, with so much drama in the LBC, it's kind of hard being Snoop Digo Double G. We're only going back, I don't know, 30 years. But anyways, here's Field Yates, who was on with Greeny earlier.
He's got a contract extension today.
Who, Field?
Yeah.
Good for him.
a.k.a. RJ Santillo.
Yeah, he is RJ. Although I saw a picture of Field recently, he finally does look like an actual adult.
Don't be offended, RJ.
No. RJ already looks like a grown adult. He beat Field slightly. Here's Field on the chances the Patriots play after positive COVID tests.
Tomorrow is an incredibly important day, Greeny. Not just because of potential test results the Patriots will receive on, obviously, teams are getting tested every single day around the league, but also, let's just use a little bit of logic here, which I think is important to do. The Patriots are not able to get back into their facility, and given that it's shut down today, it's not like you wave a magic wand or you flip one switch and everything gets back to normal overnight. Then you would be staring at the possibility of the Patriots potentially having one day of practice before a game on Sunday.
Also controversy or at least intrigue around the fact that Stephon Gilmore, who now has COVID on the Patriots, had a very, sort of up-close and personal conversation with Patrick Mahomes after their game on Monday night. But as of now, the Chiefs have tested negative. But of course, last week, after Cam Newton tested positive, the Patriots tested negative. And here we are.
They shouldn't have played that game Monday.
Anyone but the NFL is not playing that game. There's just no way.
And now moving forward, they're going to have to err on the side of caution. They're going to have no choice, guys, but to extend the season or pause.
And they've got the room to do it.
Now, I don't know if you saw the Governor DeSantis. He wants right now Tampa, Jacksonville, Florida playing full buildings.
That's him.
Miami, Jacksonville, and Tampa. So one side, we're kind of really concerned about the finishing the season, and then you have the governor of Florida thinks they can play in front of 80,000 people.
Can I just interrupt for a second, Pete?
Please.
So Joel Sherman got a hold of Brian Cashman about the decision.
That's interesting. I was about to go to the decision.
Okay, so here's what Cashman said. He described a process that was, quote, no different from every other decision, citing as an example what went into starting Brett Gardner over Clint Frazier and left for the two games of the wild card against the Indians. The various Yankee departments work up contingencies and a recommendation, present it to Boone and the necessary coaches, and then discussions ensue. Quote, ultimately, you give all the information and talk to the manager, and he absorbs everything and makes the ultimate decision on the starting lineup or who is starting. There was uniformity among the decision makers, including Boone, to use Davey Garcia as an opener in game two, then switch quickly to Jay Happ. Ultimately, Boone slept on it and decided how he wanted to choreograph it. Cashman, though, added, quote, I was 100% on board with the call we made. I am not distancing myself from that in any way, shape, or form. We vet all options and evaluate the best way to maximize what we have. So it's kind of laying this at the feet of Boone now.
Well, that's what analytics do, Michael. That's what managers are paid to be, scapegoats.
Yeah, I also wonder, all right, so they gave him all the contingencies, and probably the one that had the best scenario was this one. And what if Boone said, no, I think I want to start Jay Happ? Would that have been okay? That's why it's so confusing. You don't know who to criticize, and you feel badly about criticizing somebody that doesn't deserve it, but that happens to also be one of the engagements of having that job.
Well, let's just hear from Aaron Boone. He was asked if he spoke to Jay Happ ahead of last night's game about his role in that game.
It's definitely something that, you know, I got ahead of with him. Look, anytime we make a decision, especially this time of the year, around a roster decision, a lineup change, obviously a unique pitching situation that we're going to go with, you know, it's done with a lot of thought and discussion, with the idea that we're trying to win games, win series, and you also understand that doesn't mean it's always going to work out. But yeah, this is something that in the couple of days leading up that I did have conversations with Jay to get him on board exactly the plan, and you know, because it was a little obviously outside his normal routine, so that's something that with the player we want to have them very much involved with and in the loop.
Okay, so you put him in the loop. He said he didn't want to do it, according to what Jay Happ said yesterday. He said, but I went out there and gave it my all, and you still did it. So, So part of a big part of Boone's job is to actually get the players to buy in on this stuff. Jay Happ wasn't buying.
And here's the semantics of it. I'm not saying that Cashman's lying. He's probably telling the truth. But here's Boone's situation. He knows that when Girardi was in those situations, Girardi probably said, you know what? I'm not comfortable with doing that. We're not doing it. I slept on it. I appreciate the analytics. I'm going to do what I got to do. And it eventually cost Joe Girardi his job. So Boone's probably thinking, even if he's against it, he probably feels like he needs to be for it because at the end of the day, he wants to be able to keep his job. And you can't just go by wins and losses. Joe Girardi got fired after Game 7 of the League Championship Series, probably for this reason. They probably gave him the information. There were times he said, I'm not doing that.
I got to tell you, man, I really think that Brian's trying to pass the buck to Boone. I mean, isn't that what you get from that?
That's exactly
Boone ultimately made the decision. Come on, dude. I mean, I like Brian a lot. I've known him 30 years, but I mean, you can't hide behind. If you're an analytic team, then embrace it. We are an analytic team, and we are going to make decisions like that. Don't put it on the manager.
You know, it's kind of a strange analogy, but you remember in Jerry Maguire, right, where she's got to change your shirt. And then the sister's like, "Which shirt do you want to? What shirt you want to wear? The low cut one, and then the higher cut one. She's got her hand wiggling, like, take this one, take this one." She's letting her decide, but she's letting know that this is the one you want to do. This is the one you want to do. This is what you want to wear. It's probably the same with Cashman. Like, go sleep on it, but I really think it's a good idea. The numbers say we're going to do what we're going to go to happen the second inning. You sleep on it. It's ultimately your decision, but just so you know, everybody in the organization believes that Hap should pitch the second inning. What are you going to do if you're Boone?
And one thing, I'm telling you, I would feel guilty if I was second guessing. I did it in real time on Twitter. You can look at my timeline, look at the timestamp. When they did it, I said, I can't believe they're doing this. I cannot believe they're doing this. And there's it's unanimity around baseball. Baseball people are laughing at this. It's incomprehensible what they did. Incomprehensible that this was one of the contingencies that the computer spit out. J. Happ doesn't want to do it. If you don't have a buy-in, then you're mitigating the advantage.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We will we'll get back to the Yankees and some interesting notes about Giancarlo Stanton in just a minute as we count down to first pitch in less than an hour, about 50 minutes from now.
Yes.
Let's get to the NBA Finals. Lakers now up 3-1. Big performance from LeBron James, 28 points, 12 rebounds, and 8 assists. But they say it may have been the text message before the game that really sparked the Lakers. Here's AD on LeBron's pregame text.
You know, he sent that message, and you know, guys already knew. I mean, we felt bad after losing game 3. We didn't play the way we were supposed to play. So guys were already on edge, you know, coming into tonight. And then we see the message from, you know, our leader saying it's a must win. And he just left it at that. And guys knew coming in that we need to bring our A game. And like I said, we kind of already knew that we had to play a certain way, and that it was a must win. I mean, we all season said we don't want to be a team that loses 2 in a row, and we have the ability to make that happen. And so we was already on edge about coming in and being ready to do whatever we had to do to get this win.
The Lakers at halftime, Don, I really felt that the Lakers' momentum and confidence was waning a bit. You now had the Heat coming off of a huge win and playing the first half incredibly confidently. Like, they were absolutely supposed to be there. And I sort of thought things might be turning on the Lakers, but LeBron's LeBron, and they held on down the stretch and ended up winning by 6.
It's kind of a shame just from a competitive standpoint of the series. It would be great to get that even at 2. And you could have it a lot of fun. It's over now, right?
Well, not according to Jimmy Butler. Let's hear from Jimmy Buckets.
We're so comfortable with who we are and how we play that that's what we're going to go out there and do. And we're going to live with the end result. Obviously, we want it to be a win. We just got to lock in on us, knowing that we can control a lot of these things. But our confidence ain't going nowhere. It's going to stay high. I'm going to make sure that it stays high because it's going to have to be at an all-time high to get this next win.
It's a nice thought. It would be cool. Listen, the one thing I've said repeatedly, Don, I'll say it one more time, maybe for the last time in the whole bubble. The fact that there is no home court any direction, you never know. A 3-1 lead to me is not quite the same thing. You know, the Lakers, this would normally be, this game five would still be the last game in Miami normally.
They went back to 2-2-1-1-1.
Wait, they now are 2-2-1-1-1?
Yeah.
As of what? Oh, yeah, last year was 2-2-1-1-1.
Right.
So this would be back in L.A.
Right.
This would be back in L.A. Instead, it's just another game in the bubble. So, you know, you can't completely call it, but certainly with a team this good, it's going to take a Herculean effort from the Heat to try to get this thing to a seventh game.
And now you got to figure with it right there for the Lakers to just not just win the championship, but get the heck out of the bubble and get to go home.
You got to give props to the Heat if they could stave off another one of those.
Well, they get the extra day because the game five is not until Friday, so we'll see.
No big news in Washington today. I guess, Don, I would go as far as saying, based on everything I've seen over the last season and change, that Dwayne Haskins as a starter in Washington, that project is closed. Ron Rivera announcing Kyle Allen, his former quarterback in Carolina, will start week five against the Rams. Alex Smith elevated to backup QB. Haskins dead last in the NFL in QBR. 27th in completion percentage and 26th in yards per pass. So that'll do it for Dwayne Haskins. He's third now, Don, on this team.
Now, here's the question. He's only in his second year, and it has not looked good. But if the Cowboys were 4-0 and the Eagles were 3-1, would he be making this decision? Or is he making it like, listen, I can't babysit anymore. Believe it or not, this is actually a winnable division. And I don't want to throw this away. You know,
I believe that's 100% the decision.
You know, so if you're out of it, yeah, listen, he's only in his second year. We'll work through it. But you know what? I think the Cowboys will right themselves. Cowboys are probably beating the Giants. I don't think the Redskins are as good as the Eagles and the Cowboys. But right now, you know, you have as many wins as the team that's in first place. I mean, why wouldn't you try to make something happen?
Listen, the Cowboys' defense is so bad that yeah. You just don't know what ends up happening with them. The Eagles, no one has a clue what they are. Washington at least has a lot of talent on defense.
Yes, they do.
They really do. They found a running back who could play a little bit in Antonio Gibson, and they have Terry McLaurin, who's an absolute top-flight wide receiver. I'm not saying Washington's good. We're not. But in terms of this division, you can't tell me they can't compete if they got decent quarterback play.
That's it.
So that's what they're going with. And also, from what I've heard from people in Washington, Haskins just did nothing to ingratiate himself with the team.
That's the problem. That is the problem.
Staff.
And as I mentioned it earlier, this is probably a little vindication for the Giants because the reports were, if you remember, that he just was not someone they felt comfortable making the face of the franchise. And now you can kind of see where the Giants saw that maybe there was just a level of immaturity there.
Well, you got to acknowledge they got it right. At least got it. They may have not gotten it right with Daniel Jones. We can't be sure yet. But they did get it right in not going with Haskins.
Right, but even, listen, the football will eventually answer the call, right? And it has not been good for Haskins, and it hasn't been great for Jones either. But Jones hasn't done anything wrong. He hasn't embarrassed himself. He wasn't, you know, taking a selfie when he was supposed to be on the field. He's been coachable. He has said all the right things.
I agree 100%. Back to the Yankees. Worth noting the change in Giancarlo Stanton. He hit two more home runs yesterday, four more RBIs. He's the third player to hit home runs in each of his team's first four games in a single postseason. No player has done so through five games. And his five home runs in four postseason games are tied with Juan Gonzalez of the Rangers in 96 for the most through four games in postseason history. He joins Reggie and Gehrig as the only players in Yankees postseason history to homer in four straight, none ever in five. Stanton has six home runs and 12 RBI in his last six postseason games with the Yankees. This comes after having one homer and two RBI in his first eight playoff games with New York. So overall, his first eight games in the playoffs versus his last six. In the first eight, Don, batted .222, .667 OPS, one homer, two RBI. In his last six, the average .318 OPS, 1.521, six home runs, and 12 RBI. No, so, in other words, say what you guys want, and this is why I'm trolling Yankees fans on Twitter every night. You could say what you want, and you have a right to say. I mean, he's been injured. He has not been what they've bargained for. But you cannot say one negative thing about what he's done in these 2020 playoffs.
No, he's been good. We'll see. There's still a lot more work to be done. He can strike out the next 12 straight times, and they'll jump on him. But he's been incredible. I throw some of these historic stats away. I mean, I was just looking at, I'm watching A's and the Astros right now, and the A's have just taken a 8-7 lead in the top of the eighth inning. They're facing elimination. There's nine home runs. It's the first time in the history of baseball that the two teams combined for nine home runs in the first three games of a playoff series. I mean, so the home runs are just ridiculous. But he's hitting bombs, and they count, all right? You might be bored by the home run, but it counts as a run, and it counts for as many runs as somebody's on when you hit them. So he's been pretty incredible. And I wonder, too, Peter, I mean, I didn't look at the splits, and he did have a first good first year was good here with the Yankees, but playing in front of nobody in Miami, now playing in front of nobody in the postseason, is this a guy that maybe feels a little bit more comfortable without having, you know, 50,000 people staring at him?
And we speculated that maybe this season would be better for Stanton. I mean, his early time in New York has been complicated.
He's booed right out of the box. Yeah, that bit with you, they struck out four times in that Blue Jay series, and they booed him.
When it was
tough coming to New York when the team's expected to win a championship, and you're supposed to be the gratuitous gravy piece that's going to win them a championship, and then they don't. You always get destroyed in New York for that.
ENN Tonight, sponsored by Coors Seltzer. Coors Seltzer makes volunteering easy. Let's say you drink a seltzer while you're watching the game. That's volunteering. Each 12-pack sold will help restore 500 gallons of river water. Drink a seltzer. Help save the Hudson River. Details at CoorsSeltzer.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.